two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's another hour of Unrivaled right here, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for being with us.
So, Alex.
Scott Mitchell over here. Rio, what's up, dude?
Well, I learned a new word this weekend.
Oh, you did?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, I always love this. Hold on. Let me get my notebook out of Scott Mitchellisms that get me through the week.
So, you know, I went and saw my mom.
Went
and
saw your mom. Right. Like a good son. Good
and,
job.
And the new word that's expanded my vocabulary.
Is this appropriate for radio?
Haboobs.
Okay, again, is this appropriate for
radio? No. Like, haboobs, massive, like, almost threatening sandstorms. The dust storms.
Okay.
Called haboobs. They're, like, so big and so beautiful.
No, I got it.
Amazing.
Hold on, I'm going to look it up here. No, this is a company computer. I'm not looking that up.
It's a totally legit.
No, I know it is.
That's the name.
Look, I know
that's
what. That's you've taught me new things.
They're sandstorms.
You're always teaching me.
Haboobs.
All right. You're always teaching me new things here.
Haboobs.
Okay. That's what you learned down in Arizona this weekend.
Yeah.
Good for you.
From my mother, of all
places.
Well,
you know, they're always teaching us stuff.
Well, so here's the thing.
Even when they're you know, advanced in age and you're visiting your mom, and it's great, they can always teach you something, Scott.
I drove from Phoenix to Tucson. Several areas along the way, it's like...
Did they warn? Did they warnings?
But there's signs on
Are they like the sand, like the...
They're dust storms.
Yeah, they're like the tornado. They're almost like the sand tornadoes, right?
It's a thing.
They don't mess around.
No.
See, that's
but
the
that's
kind of thing.
But that's the official name.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Haboobs.
I'm still a 13-year-old at heart. Like, I
know.
Guess, you knew, this is a strategically placed. All right.
The minute I heard that word.
You're like, I know what I'm talking about.
I got to put that on the radio.
Jeez.
Haboobs.
Hey, watch out for those sandstorms. We're kicking
They'll
things off
every
here,
time.
As we do every hour. With the cut on the program, let's do it.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut, as usual, brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that RSL, the Jazz, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org. That is uofuhealth.org for more information. Got a lot to get through here on this one, Scott. I did want to bring something up though too. You threw me off my game here with your first vocabulary literally your lesson over here. Gosh, that's the thing is that people are like, "What's it like working with Scott?" Man, I'll just go back and listen to
most of the show
today's podcast, and you'll kind of get the vibe on it. No, but I did. You traveled this weekend, right? You did the whole, like you're saying.
Yes.
You did the airport and everything. Have we?
Yeah.
What's the mask situation at airports currently?
It's kind of at your discretion.
Okay, so, but I mean,
it
like,
was a really, really nice feeling. It's the first time I've traveled right. where I did not have.
But
to
But we're
wear
also
kind
of having like a little bit of a resurgency here.
Yeah, there's been a little spike.
But then we've also got monkeypox to figure out.
Yes,
which I'm like. I don't know what that is. All I get today was a notification from KSL News that says, probable cases of monkeypox, and I'm going, what are we doing? What is 20?
I mean, how do you get monkeypox?
I don't know. Do you get bit? And do they act like chicken pox? I mean, I guess we've had animal pox before.
So there's a cream.
Okay.
for chafing.
Oh, the butt paste.
Yeah, monkey butt paste.
Yeah.
Can we say that?
Yes, it's an actual product. I love how you had no problem with saying the sandstorm haboob, but you did.
Well,
haboob
is a thing.
I know, but monkey butt paste is a. I'm just saying, everybody, watch out there.
Do you get it from monkey butt paste? The monkey pox?
No, but it might help.
Might help deter clinical trials. Monkey pox.
Scott, we got to get to this one. My heavens. We were looking at some of these projected wins in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And I'm still having a real hard time wrapping my head around why these national pundits are putting these Pac-12 teams are kind of lined up for their odds for winning, and the Pac-12 outright favorite to win is still USC according to most odds makers.
Right.
Which is insane to me. USC is a 2-1 favorite, and their projected wins are 9.5. I got to take the under on that. I don't know anything about this team. I mean, I just don't know what's going on here with this team, but they are projected to win 9.5 wins, a full win ahead of Utah, who's five to one odds,
right.
And an 8.5 win projection. How are they projected to win 8? I'm trying to figure out where three or four losses are going to come from on this schedule.
So let me enlighten you on something really quick with USC.
Please.
Okay. The number one thing that's going to challenge USC this year, and then there's the number two thing. Number one, watching football as long as I have.
Yeah.
Participating in it as long as I have. There is one thing that decides the outcome of a game. Almost 100% of the time.
What is it? Tell me. This is like magic. I got to write this down, too.
And the only thing that will counteract it is a loss in the turnover battle. Okay?
Okay.
So like a significant 3 or 4 turnover margin. It's whoever wins in the trenches. You just watch the line of scrimmage. And you watch which team is pushing the other team off the line of scrimmage.
I always tell people that team wins. Watch those first 12 plays from scrimmage.
And just make an average
of where that line is kind of pushing back and forth, or who comes off the ball. You know, with the and so I'm
so
assuming
USC
you're saying USC's offensive line, defensive line are not great.
They in all that they've done, and it's been a lot of flash in the pan, right? New coach, big exciting offense,
backfield's looking amazing,
best quarterback, blah blah blah, but up front. They've done nothing to improve, and significantly nothing on defense. Again, think of the mindset of Kyle Whittingham. Best players that go to Utah, where do they go? They go on the defense.
Right. Yeah.
Right? An offensive-minded Lincoln Riley, best players go on offense.
Offense.
And they're skilled players. So that's the biggest concern. The second concern for me with USC is the culture. We talked about with Yogi Roth, which I thought was a great comment from him. He said, it's like 18 months to develop a culture.
Yeah, and that came from, he was asking Chris Peterson about
right.
it.
Right, and
you know, a guy
anyone
who,
knows culture.
Right, and yeah. and you kind of go, so how long does it take to install culture? I mean, I like that term anyway. You just go,
right.
We've got to figure something out here. Like, we've got to come in and we've got to install a culture. And even at the pro level, you look at it and you go, dude, Urban Meyer, he gets fired through the first year. That's a real problem because all these Shad Khan had even shown, I'll give guys 3 years because this is a process
right.
here. Unless, of course, you screw it up
You're
or something
an
else.
And so think about what happens. A new coach gets hired. When Lincoln Riley get hired? Right at the end of the season. So you're going to go through a whole offseason. There's your 6 months. Then you're going to go through a season.
Right.
There's 12 months.
Sure.
Then you're gonna be able to reinforce everything that you started to. So you implement it in spring football, and you go into fall, and the players, they don't really buy into it. Then you get into the season, and the season kind of has its ups and downs, and you find yourself. And then you get into that second off season, and that's where you really people buy into your culture. And it's just because of time. It's just because of the limited opportunities you have to be around these players and to coach them and to teach them and to indoctrinate them into your culture. So culture and the upfront seven for USC is why I do not even fathom that they're expected to win 9.5 games this year.
I don't know where. I mean, these betting houses, you know, they feel like they have to do all this work to be able to make sure that they have some information so that they don't skew everything one way or the other.
Right.
But I'm looking at, I think just as head scratching to me about USC getting the projection that they have is to look at Utah and even Oregon. I mean, they're projected to win 8.5 games. So find 3.5 losses in this, in that grouping. So if you look at Utah's schedule, I mean, I guess you could say, look, if they're going to lose at Florida, then you start off 0-1 and that's tough, right? But I'm looking at this schedule. You're looking at going probably at the worst 2-1 in those first three games.
Right.
Arizona State is a dog.
It's a dumpster fire.
And
Utah doesn't play well at
they
ASU.
They don't play well in Tempe, but who cares? Yeah. Like right now, I have no.
It's the best time if you're ever going to play Arizona State and you're going to play them there. Where they are right now, it's probably the best time to get them.
There's such a chip on Utah's shoulder about that Oregon State game last year, too.
Yeah.
They're coming to Salt Lake, and it's going to be, I think that's not going to be a good game either.
Yep.
UCLA and USC are questions, but then at that point, if you even lose both of those games, you're talking about, you know, being a three-loss team right there. And then somewhere finding another loss there at the end, you're talking about losing to Oregon.
Yeah.
So losing to Oregon, USC, UCLA.
And Florida,
that's where these pundits have Utah losing all these games.
And the reality between USC and UCLA, the worst case for Utah is they maybe lose one of those games.
Yeah,
and
that's
worst
case scenario.
And you have Oregon and Florida, and they're probably not going to lose both of those
games.
They may lose one
so
of those.
So cut it in half. I mean, the reality is that if you're going to project a team, I'd almost be okay with them projecting 8 wins to USC this first year. They went 4-8 last year.
Yeah.
They've changed everything over, and what hasn't improved, like you said, is the offensive line.
Right.
And the defensive line.
Nope.
Those are two teams. Look, you're going to have some of the best skill in the backfield that they've had in a long, long time at USC. And that's like a lot of – I mean, this is as good of a quarterback as they've ever had there at USC in the last, 8 years. But they've had a long list of 5- and 4-star guys who have rolled through there have not been successful. And so – and that was under Clay Helton. Fine. Different regime. Fine. But I just don't see in year one this thing working out that way. I still – and then all the head scratchers still again. They have Washington at 8 wins on the season. Where does Washington get 8 wins? And how is it – what world do we live in where Washington State's projected to get 5.5 wins
and
Washington's projected to get 7? I don't get it.
Let's just say everything in the state of Washington as it relates to football this fall is going to be bad. Seahawks are going to be bad.
Okay,
Huskies are going to be bad. They just are.
We haven't even got to the NFL roundup yet, and you're already throwing shade on my Seahawks.
Yeah. I don't know that I've seen a fire cell bigger or more impressive than what the Seahawks have done.
They're like, who's the best player you've had on offense in the last decade? Russell Wilson. Well, we'll take him. Who's the best player you've ever had on defense? Yeah, Bobby Wagner. Well, we'll take him too.
So I would imagine at the Seahawks facility, they probably shut down their team store.
They're probably like, look, listen,
we're not going to sell any jerseys. We don't have anyone. You know what jersey we can sell you? 12th man jersey. That's all we got.
No, they got DK Metcalf. That number. Yeah.
You got DK Metcalf, and you're going to have like 10 quarterbacks to make one just to throw him 10 passes a year. He's going to be so frustrated.
That's going to be one of these wastes of because they're all, hey, we feel really good about Geno Smith throwing the football.
It's going to be a little bit like Calvin Johnson with the Detroit Lions.
Hey, but the Detroit Lions, that's a, well, We're talking about these guys.
The Lions have been on a dumpster fire for years. That's how they operate on a normal basis.
So here's how the rest of the pack looks. All right, Utah 8.5 wins. Arizona State, they've projected at 5.5 wins, but they've also put them at 17-2 odds. They have fourth best odds, tied with UCLA to win the Pac-12. I don't know how that works.
Well, Arizona State and UCLA are not the same team.
I know, but will you
not even close to the same team?
But will you explain to me how they both have the same odds to win the Pac-12, but they have a 3-win differential on the projected wins? 8.5 for UCLA, 5.5 for Arizona State.
It has to be with the non-conference. Probably the non-conference,
yeah,
and the home and away games. I think one of the biggest reasons USC gets a lot of love is their schedule is pretty friendly. They don't play Oregon. And maybe Oregon State might be the better team in Oregon right now. Who knows? I mean, that's yet to be seen. Because, again, that's that culture thing. And as much as Oregon has, they've lost a lot, too. So a new coach, a new culture, yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see.
So I get it. The projected wins and losses. I mean, when you look at these updated ESPN, you know, S&P Plus or SP Plus, the S&P 500. Now, when you look at all these different things and you go, what exactly are we looking at this year? It's going to be different every year. It's going to not make a lot of sense. They're going to get a lot wrong. In ESPN's case, it's really just 100% like a computer model, you know? The Vegas ones are interesting because they're actually trying to take into account, like, they're trying to break down, like, everything to its last detail. And that's why I don't understand how they're going to have Washington with 8 wins and Washington State with 5.5. Oregon State's also projected at 5.5 wins. That's a team that is, in my mind, that's an underperforming year for them. Oregon State, I think, is better than they are. Cal, I have no idea about Cal, but they have the same win projection as Arizona State with 5.5. Stanford, they think they're going to be a dog this year at 4.5 wins. Colorado, 3.5, and then Arizona rounding it out with 2.5. Out of that list, Scott, when you're looking at it right there, out of that list, which team is going to have the biggest differential, one way or the other? More losses or not even close to the win projection that they have or not even close to? Because in my mind, I feel like Arizona could win 6 games. They could find a way to win 6 games this year. Maybe that's a little early.
I think the team that's going to really struggle is ASU. From whatever they are and where they actually end up, I think that will be that team will probably have the biggest fall, to me anyways.
I think the one that probably is win projections and not going to be anywhere close to what they actually do, and this hurts me to say too because I grew up a Husky fan, but Washington, there's no way they're going to get 8 wins.
That was the other team.
There's just no way. Yeah. I mean, you can have that. You can half that total and probably be a lot closer. And I think Arizona's going to overperform. I think Colorado is exactly where they should be. Cal and Stanford are head-scratchers to me. I just don't know why these teams cannot figure it out. I don't know why they can't pull their weight in a Pac-12 right now that should be able to compete. All the developments, NIL, transfer portal stuff, you can't. Those are two academic institutions that are very, very strong, and maybe that's part of it, right? Where in a transfer portal, someone's going to go, I am not throwing myself into Stanford. And then Stanford's also saying, we don't just take people out of the transfer portal.
I think it gets hard because of that. I think culturally, Stanford and Cal are tough places, and they just are. And it's like all of the stars have to align. And you literally have to get the whole university buying into things. And I think it takes a long time for that to happen. And I also think it takes a very quick time for the schools to get disinterested. And they just go, yeah, okay, fine. And I just think their mission, their focus, their agenda is just a lot different than having really top-notch football programs. It's never been the mantra. And they've had great players that have come through these schools.
You know, you kind of go back to.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a Cal guy. I mean, there's a lot of really good.
Stanford was good 10 minutes ago. You know, with the same coach, and so well, I guess maybe you throw Jim Harbaugh in there too, right? But at the same time, like the same exact everything is set up the way that for Stanford to have success as they did before. And even when Stanford was super good, they weren't packing the farm. I mean, they weren't packing everybody in there. I think when Utah upset Stanford there at Stanford maybe 4 years ago, and I think Stanford was like a number 12 or 13 team. And I remember you texting me going, there's 17,000 people here.
Yeah, it was the game that really turned around Utah's season. I mean, that's what really.
Oh, when they started out 0-3, right?
It was the catalyst to really get them going into the.
That was that 2017 year then.
Yep.
When they go 0-3 to start conference play, and then they turn it around.
Actually, it was 0-2, I think.
Or 0-2, but they ended up 6-3 in the conference. Yeah. They ended up winning the South. But I think that of all the teams that are on there. I think that Cal Whittingham just loves the fact that he's still third on this list. And, you know, we're going to go to Pac-12 Media Days, and the voting is going to be heavily onto Utah's side.
It will be.
I mean, it's going to be massive onto Utah's side. You're not going to see this split stuff between Oregon and Utah.
No.
For Pac-12 champion.
But USC probably gets some love.
You're going to see
part of the thing is
Kyle Whittingham's worst nightmare is that these guys are going to – we're going to show up there and they're going to be 1,000. Everybody's going to vote for Utah. He's like, no.
No. So here's what happens. And it's just like LeBron James. It's just like Tiger, you know, like the Lakers, Tiger Woods. They want to find any excuse why they can talk about USC. Because USC moves the needle in the national stage.
And so, it's actually better.
So if there's something, you know, wow, they got this quarterback and they've got, you know, they're really turning it around. They've had, you know, anything to share that news is a story. If they said that at Utah, it wouldn't.
You know what you want? You actually do want USC to be pretty good this year, though. I mean, that's the thing we've been talking about, right?
You do.
Because you keep saying, wouldn't that be awesome if they were undefeated going into that game against each other on October 15th? And if that were the case, then USC is going to be a 9.5 win team.
Yeah.
And so is Utah.
Right.
That's kind of where you want it. I just don't think it's going to be there. I think USC is still an 8-win team this year, and then maybe you see everything turn around next year, but it's just going to take a minute. I really hope. I mean, for Utah's sake, if they're going to be able to go do something again special this year, you got to have USC be good, but not that good. You don't want them that good. That's my theory on it, at least. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. NFL wrap-up around the corner. Don't want to miss some of our stories. Scott doesn't want to miss an opportunity to make fun of my Seahawks. But I do have a story about what one Seahawk is saying about his former teammate, Russell Wilson. A little spurned lover action going on here, Scott. A little bit of jealousy and not the well-wishing type. As soon as they break up, then you go, uh-oh. I guess we saw the real person on this one. We'll come back. NFL Roundup around the corner. It's 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.